Good morning, everyone. My name is Herman Pretorius. I am the Deputy Head of Policy Research at the Institute of Race Relations, and I will be chairing this morning's meeting, this morning's discussion, with renowned economist Darby Ruart and my colleague, analyst and researcher for the Institute of Race Relations, Mr. Nick Babaya, will be having the discussion with Mr. Ruart. Throughout the talk, do not feel offended if I mute your mic. I think it's from my experience over these lockdown weeks, it's just easiest if we make sure that only one or two people at a time could speak. And I think we all agree that that should primarily be Mr. Ruart and secondarily be his conversation partner, Mr. Babaya. That being said, the formalities being over and everyone being welcome, I give it over to Mr. Babaya to start this conversation with Darby. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Herman, and thank you very much, Mr. Ruart, for being here today to discuss with us. We'll jump right into the questions. Darby, taking into account the circumstances and the uncertainty of the economy, what do you foresee is the effect on jobs and businesses? And to that end, do you think we should stop this lockdown?
Sure, there's a lot of questions. Good morning to everybody. Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's actually quite weird that this has become the normal that we can talk about on a technology like this, and it's all of a sudden the fourth industrial revolution is on top of us. All right, there are two questions. The one is the effect on jobs, and the second one is that should we stop this lockdown or not? Let me just have a look at answer the first one on jobs. But of course, before you can answer the question on jobs, you have to just have a bit of an idea of what's likely to happen to the South African economy. And I can give you some details if you really want to, but I've had a look at my estimates for economic growth. And I, before the virus, and I think it's very important to understand this, is that the South African economy was in a recession already. And in fact, I would call it a crisis, especially on the fiscal side. And we're already in a recession. And I'm afraid this virus is going to be blamed for everything from now on. Although the real reason why the economy has been going through a difficult time before the virus was because of mismanagement of all sort of things in the South African economy. So what I had a very weak economic growth in any event before the virus, and of course there's no way to accurately predict what's going to happen to economic growth. But essentially what I've done, I looked at previous crises, and I simply superimpose that on my existing economic model. And of course, I keep on adjusting that every day, sometimes more than once a day. And at the moment, I have economic contraction around about 6% for the year in total. Now, with a bit of luck, we can get out of the recession by the end of this year, the last quarter or so. The third quarter should be more or less flattish if we're lucky, but the fourth quarter, with a bit of luck, and there are all technical reasons, we could report some positive economic growth. So talk about economic contraction around about 6%, that's what I expect. Many guys, I read the report this morning, somebody expecting 10% contraction or even more. Now, if the economy contracts by that, and based on previous experience, that means that we're probably going to lose in the region of about 1 million jobs. In fact, slightly over 1 million jobs, up at 1.1 million jobs that are likely to be lost. So unemployment is then likely to go up to, say, 11 million people or so by the end of this year. Additionally, we are talking about, and I saw the Reserve Bank is mentioning 1,600 businesses that's going to close down. I don't understand how you get to that because depending, of course, on your certain assumptions, but if you assume, say, 5 or 10 people working for a company and you talk about 10 million people losing their jobs, then we are really talking about many, many thousands of businesses closing down, and not only 1,600 or so businesses. So we're talking about many, many thousands of businesses closing down. So you also, more than 1 million jobs are likely to be lost, and many thousands of businesses are likely to be closed down. Then should we close the lockdown? Or should we stop with the lockdown? I think we have to open this debate and we have to talk about this. I think what we all must understand is that this thing that we call wealth or economic growth is the thing that correlates best with everything that is good for humans, for humankind. If you look at rich countries are countries with high life expectancy. Rich countries are countries with very good education levels. They've got good infrastructure, everything. So wealth or then economic growth correlates with everything that is good. Poverty, on the other hand, correlates with everything that is bad. And given the fact that the South African economy is in a recession now, and a very deep recession, we are going to see an increase, and a substantial increase in poverty. Now, let me give you one example. The average income of the average European is three times that of the average South African. The life expectancy in Europe on average is roughly about 20 years longer than in South Africa. And I like life expectancy as the single most important economic variable out there. High life expectancy is good. It always correlates with everything that's good in an economy. So if we can somehow reach the level of income of the Europeans, we can extend an average based on this simple example. We should be able to increase our life expectancy by around about 20 years. So people are saying that it's a choice between lives and the economy, and I disagree with that. I think a healthy economy is also an economy with healthy people. And it's the same thing when you talk about whether lives or the health of the economy, it's actually the same thing. And what I believe we should consider, at least, and very seriously consider, is to change the approach. There are certain people that are obviously vulnerable, the elderly or people with underlying conditions. And my approach certainly will be to isolate them and to look after them and make sure that they are protected as much as possible. But we have to open this economy up. We have to get this economy growing as soon as we absolutely can. I think the first reaction by the president was probably the right reaction. That was best practice at that time, given the information we had at that time. But subsequently, we've got more information. We understand what the mortality rates are much better anyway than in the past. And I do believe that we should try to open this economy as quickly as we possibly can, because it will lead, and it is going to lead to a huge increase in poverty. And poverty is nothing but a death sentence to many, many people. I'm not talking about people starving to death. But if you've got poverty, you don't have proper infrastructure, and ambulances can't get to A, B, and C and things like that. Poverty is a killer. In fact, poverty is the biggest killer on this planet.
The government ran out of money, you could say, long before this pandemic arrived. In fact, I think we could still be talking about various economic problems, even if there wasn't a COVID-19 pandemic. We had the finance minister, Tito Mboweni, announced a large deficit, even in a country which can't even reach a single percentage point of GDP growth. So taking that into account, what is the current situation with the government's fiscal accounts moving forward, given that situation and now that we're going to contract in GDP?
Yeah, everything is going to change. You're absolutely right. The state accounts were in a complete, total, unsustainable mess because of mismanagement of the fiscal accounts in previous years, because of silly things like keep on bailing out South African Airways and many other of these sort of decisions. Imagine if we had 16 billion rand. That's the last that the Minister of Finance, the bailout to South African Airways, 16 billion rand. Imagine if we had some extra 16 billion rand that we can spend on poverty relief now, to give food to people, to young children. Yes, so it was completely unsustainable beforehand. The deficit by the Minister of Finance was expected to reach 6.8% of GDP. That was far too optimistic. My estimates was, anyway, that we're probably going to run the under-collection. My economic growth before the crisis was 0.5% for 2020. So there was probably going to be another under-collection in terms of revenue to the tune of 80 or 90 billion rand. And that's before the crisis. Now with the crisis, I'm afraid, and the economy contracting quite significantly, we're probably going to see under-collection in terms of revenue of 200 or even 300 billion rand, less collection than the original budgeted estimate. We all know there's huge pressure on the spending side. And we will hear what the Minister of Finance says a little later today, if he's going to try to spend a little bit more on a couple of very important things, I guess. So let's see what's going to happen on the spending side. But the bottom line is that fiscal deficit is probably going to reach a new record high. I have, at the moment, a fiscal deficit of approximately 12% of GDP, depending on what the Minister says today. And that means that we're going to reach the debt levels. We're going to breach the 70% to GDP debt levels within this year. So we're going to see debt levels ballooning, getting completely out of hand in excess of 70% of GDP. And of course, that is excluding Eskom and other parasitals as well. We haven't got an answer to what's going to happen to Eskom yet. And my big concern, the opportunity obviously here is to make use of this crisis to restructure the fiscal accounts. This is a crisis where we can once and for all get rid of South African Airways. Now, I think everybody will agree with that. That cannot be a priority. We have to give people food. We can't keep a dead airline in the air. So this is an opportunity to restructure. But the political issue here is that we need to address this army of civil servants, and they are simply overpaid, and to reduce the wage bill is going to be extremely difficult. But now certainly is the opportunity to make certain structural adjustments. Everybody's going to take pain. It's only fair that the civil servants also take some pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have spoken about that once or twice amongst ourselves here at the IRR. But given that really dismal looking fiscal situation, what are your thoughts on the potential for an IMF bailout in South Africa?
Yeah, everybody's talking about an IMF bailout. We just got a loan of $1 billion, I understand, from the BRICS Bank. Remember when you borrow money internationally from institutions like the IMF, the World Bank, or the BRICS Bank for that matter, you essentially are borrowing dollars. That's what you're going to get. They are not going to lend you rands. They are going to lend you dollars. So you must ask your question before you go to any of those international institutions. Of course, you can borrow in the case of the IMF, you will be getting special drawing rights. But the point I'm making, if you go to those institutions, you will be getting dollars. So before you borrow dollars, you must ask yourself the question, so what do I want to buy with dollars? Now, there are basically two things that you can buy with dollars. You can pay off existing loans, dollar loans, or you can import stuff. You can import medical equipment or medical supplies from another country, and you need to pay them in dollars because they're not going to accept the rands. So, and I think that's the plan with the BRICS Bank, is to use those dollars to import medical supplies. I understand that. So that makes sense to me. But to go into the IMF and borrow $10 billion worth of a loan from the IMF, for example, what are you going to do with this money? Because all you can do with this money, you're going to put it at the South African Reserve Bank, and the reserves will increase. And you still, unless you spend it somehow internationally. And one of the good things that the government has done the last couple of years is that they did not borrow too much internationally. Currently, the reserves at the South African Reserve Bank is in excess of $50 billion. The outstanding loans of the state is around about 10% denominated in dollars, and those loans will fall due over the next couple of years. They're not all going to fall due straight away, and there's more than sufficient reserves at the South African Reserve Bank to cover those loans when they fall due. So, no, we don't need dollar reserves or dollar loans. There could be one reason why we may want to go to the IMF, and I guess that's a valid reason. If you want to go to the IMF, borrow money from the IMF, and use that as a stick to get your other political partners in line in order to to force through certain structural adjustments. That's a valid point, I guess. But we don't need the dollars, and there's no need to go to the IMF for dollars, certainly not at the moment.
Thank you. I'd just like to briefly remind our journalist friends that the final 15 minutes of this will be for questions. So if you do have a question, just keep it in mind. And at the end, there may be an opportunity to ask. Mr. Ruud, in connection to that, what is your view on the South African Reserve Bank's policy, and how would you view their handling of this crisis?
Essentially, there are two options or two instruments or two levers available to the authorities. The one is fiscal policy, and the other one is monetary policy. And a couple of other things, but those are the two most. We all know that the fiscal policy is just not available today, and it's not available because of the reasons we've mentioned, because of mismanagement in the past. So
Apologies. Can everyone please mute their mics?
I do apologize. I have muted the offending mic.
Cool. All right. So the fiscal accounts are simply not available because of previous mismanagement. We can use some money here and there and spend a little bit here and there, but it's not going to be nearly enough to support the economy. In fact, if we really want to support the economy, we should have to spend 300 billion rand or even more in some sort of support package to get the South African economy going. We don't have the money. We can't do that. And we can't do that because of previous mismanagement. That's unlike the monetary authorities, the Reserve Bank primarily. No, in the past, many economists and many analysts and many other people criticized the South African Reserve Bank for running a tight monetary policy ship. Many people think that the Reserve Bank should have cut interest rates earlier. Fortunately, they did not. And I think Lesetja Kanyaku did an excellent, really excellent job in the past. And because he ran a tight fiscal shop in the past, he's got the opportunity and he's got the leeway now and he's got the capacity now. He's got the dry ammunition now to come to the party and to support the South African economy. And we saw things like, for example, him cutting interest rates, making some adjustments in terms of the capital requirements, the liquidity requirements for the banks, and even entering the bond market and started buying bonds in the secondary market. And that's a bit controversial. But looking at all these measures that the Reserve Bank has put into place, I think he's done all the right things, the South African Reserve Bank. And he did that, and he could do that because he ran a tight monetary policy approach in the past. The big danger, of course, especially with the Reserve Bank entering the capital market now, is that there's always going to be difficult to get out of that. And they used about R1 billion last month to buy government bonds. So the real question is not whether they should have participated and did what they did. I think they did the right thing. The real question and the real test is going to be after the crisis of the Reserve Bank and withdraw from this. But the real irony in all of this is that Ace Magashule was calling for quality easing, to use his words. And that is exactly in a way what the Reserve Bank is doing now. I know the Reserve Bank is saying, no, this is not quantitative easing, but let's be honest, they are making use of freshly printed money and they're buying government bonds. Yes, in a secondary market, not in a primary market, but essentially what they're doing, they are printing money and, well, buying government and giving in a weird kind of way, giving the money to politicians to spend. But I disagree with the Reserve Bank. I think it's a good thing that, and I certainly would have done the same, but the test is going to be when they need to withdraw from that. And hopefully they will withdraw rather sooner than later. But it's a dangerous thing. Very dangerous to do.
Going a little bit to a different topic now, obviously South Africa's economic woes, even without the pandemic, can be ascribed to a number of factors, regulatory tax. I think one thing that has been quite hot in the news recently is that aid from the government will still be distributed based on race-based affirmative action and broad-based black economic empowerment type policies. The government is insistent on still continuing this through the crisis. What is the effect of even more BEE-type policy from an economic standpoint going to be during this difficult period of time for the economy?
Yeah, you know, in the past we could, and in fact I was very much in support of BEE in the beginning years for obvious reasons. And gradually over time I became disillusioned by that. And because, I mean, it simply doesn't make sense to me when you find exactly the same black billionaires on the same boards or various companies. I mean, that cannot be BE, or that cannot be empowerment. That cannot be right. And I also know that if you really want to empower people, you need to start where it really matters, and that is with proper primary education. That's the most important thing if you really want to empower people. Our primary education in South Africa is horrible. It's not because of money. It's because of mismanagement and everything that goes with that. So if we really want to empower, we have to start where it matters, and that's with primary education. Unfortunately, a few individuals are getting the benefit of BEE. So now I'm completely against BEE. But under current circumstances, we were in crisis, and now we've got a crisis on top of a crisis. And now we still have politicians with certain political and social agendas and ideological agendas and making use of that in this crisis. I think it's immoral. I just think it's completely and totally immoral. You cannot force your ideological ideas and social and political ideas upon the rest of South Africa under these sort of circumstances. No, I think that is, I do not have another word, but that it's completely and totally immoral to do that under these sort of circumstances.
There's a little bit of a grim picture that I suppose we've painted, and we've come to the end of the questions. I'd like to just ask one thing, and that is, in this crisis, in these difficult times for South Africa, As an economist, is there any silver lining to this? Is there anything we can do to turn a bad situation into an opportunity for good?
Yeah, well, like I've said, I think certainly a bright spark here, a bright star here is the South African Reserve Bank and the way that they've been managing this. I think they're doing an excellent job. I must also tell you that the president has started taking decisions. That's good. He's acting presidential. I must also tell you that the health authorities are quite impressive. They're very transparent. I'm very, very concerned with the extra powers to the bureaucrats, like Tele, for example, saying that he wants to extend this ban on alcohol even after the crisis. I mean, that's, and the, my concern is that you give politicians, you give bureaucrats more power, and they're not going to give it back after the crisis. And that's my concern. And it's our responsibility to make sure that after the crisis, that we get back our all the rights that they've taken away from us. But the opportunities here are for everybody to see. This is an opportunity to restructure things that are wrong. This is an opportunity. And I think there is actually, no, there cannot be any argument that we have rid of South African Airways more before now. We must have money for important things. You cannot keep an airline alive when people are literally hungry out. This must be an opportunity to restructure the civil service and all sort of that. This must be an opportunity to restructure Eskom as an example. Restructure Eskom now. Get it done once and for all. Everybody's got to take fame. And I think that is certainly the opportunity that we have now. And on a slightly different note, is that it seems to me, and this is actually when we started talking, we're talking on this medium, for example, now, and all of a sudden the fourth industrial revolution is all over us. And all of us are being forced to start making use of this new technology, and life is never, ever going to be the same again. In fact, I've never been this busy. I'm in full contact with my people all the time. We have got meetings all the time, far too many. We work far longer hours than ever before. But the downside to that, and I think we also have to understand that, is that people with the skills and people with the means to participate in this modern economy, they will to an extent be cushioned by the economic effect of this economic slowdown, and people in squatter camps, poor people without the necessary skills, they are going to be people that's going to be very hard hit. And it's probably going to lead to a further increase in inequality in South Africa, and that usually leads to social and political tension and so on. But I think a change, it can be painful. Change, this is certainly going to be painful, but change is not always bad, and quite often there are at least certain things that will be working, will be much better after this virus. And I think what we're doing now is an example of that.
Well, I think that's a lovely note to end off the main questions on. Thank you very much, Mr. Ruud, for being here. We will now move over to questions from any of our journalists who are here watching, and I will hand over to Herman to run that part.